Here's another listener essay.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Listener essay.
Listener essay. Listener essay.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today's listener essay comes from Lincoln and is titled Heraldry. Now, if you want to vote for this essay and give some private feedback to the author, visit our website. I'll give you the form letter pre-recorded detail message at the end of the episode today. But for now, take it away, Lincoln.
Perfess, embattled sable and oar between three Stafford knots, a lion rampant, all counterchanged. Sable, a wolf rampant, holding between the forepaws a bottle oar, the label sable on a chief density of 3 points downwards oar, two pairs bendwise, slipped and leaved sable. Quarterly, one, gules, a lion rampant to sinister oar, two, there, a serpent erect argent langed gules, three, or a badger regarding proper. Four, azure, an eagle, wings displayed and elevated oar, beaked argent. And overall an escutcheon oar, charged with the letter H, sable. The motto, Draco dormiens, nunquam titillandus, to be carried in an escroll beneath the shield. Did all of you get that? That is the language of heraldry, which describes armorial achievements, or the emblems most of you would call coats of arms. Heraldry encompasses the formal traditions of shield and crest designs that solidified in the Middle Ages and continue to this day. A noted scholar calls it the shorthand of history. I've just read the blazons, or descriptions, of the arms of Edwin Bramall, Thomas Dunn, and Hogwarts, School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. This fascinating aspect of history was first hinted at to me in a book titled A Distant Mirror, The Calamitous 14th Century. A passage casually describes someone's arms with argent, fox, and five loaves gules, another berry of six, ver and gules. It was a peak, a hint, a small doorway. I passed over it with a shallow understanding, and though the reference was a bit opaque to me, and I didn't comprehend what lay behind the door, the word stuck in my mind as a bit peculiar, something to perhaps research another time. Several years later, and having now read the book a few times, my wife and I were planning a trip to France. Due to my love of the book, my wife rightly insisted that we make the effort to visit the medieval ruins that were once upon a time the dwelling of the book's primary character, Le Château de Coucy, in a small town 80 miles northeast of Paris. Even though the primary tower was blown up by retreating Germans in World War I, the ruins remain a fascinating historical site. The small town is still economically motivated to celebrate the old place, and the Coucy coat of arms was proudly displayed on several markers and street signs on our short walk to the entrance. I didn't buy the only object in the gift shop that displayed this shield, a keychain, but I determined to revisit the book and read its description, which I did, and by doing so opened the door I mentioned earlier. This small overgrown opening in the wall behind which lay a garden of delights, every corner yielding a new fascinating insight. Thank you, Wikipedia, Gutenberg.org, Google Books, and so on. Heraldry is a human invention, a chronicle of human creativity and exploits. To some it represents tradition, glory, and honor. To others it may represent the worst of class division, oppression and exploitation, noble arrogance. To me, it's all of this and more. It exercises the mind. I'll pass on Sudoku, but let me interpret a blazon like those I read at the opening, and my mind can unravel the language into an image. Or do the opposite. Present an image, and let me, in my novice-level fascination, compose a blazon to accompany it. Like Dan Carlin, I am a fan of history. Heraldry adds another dimension to comprehending the past, how the world got to where it is now. Its visual nature adds color to that distant reflection in the mirror, and my insights into the human fabric. Coined in the terms frequency illusion and Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is the idea that once some person is aware of some particular thing, this thing seems to pop up all over the place. The abundance is not a recent proliferation, though some may interpret this as the case, but the mind has tuned in and is taking notice without conscious effort. Maybe you've experienced this before. I see heraldry all over the place, in movies, described in books, and so on. Speaking of which, Sir Robin's coat of arms in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, though inconsistent between the actual coat and the shield, are a humorous and well-executed exhibition of heraldic design. Now, some of you may argue that the chicken could be described as courant regardant, but given the chicken is fleeing and the leg positioning, I would say it's passant regardant, but we're getting in the weeds now. The tradition continues today as seen in military, municipal, and other emblematic variations. The nice thing about heraldry is my detached fascination. I don't have a horse in the joust, as it were. As I learn of its development and quirks, I can appreciate heraldry for what it is, nothing more, nothing less. I don't have to make excuses for the ugly parts. For example, the crest of Sir John Hawkins' arms, granted by Queen Elizabeth in 1565, depict a bound African slave, lauding the man's role in the slave trade. There are other examples of bound or defeated foes that highlight the military and violent heritage of the past. The brighter side of humanity can be observed as well. Some designs are lighthearted, with inventive or comical wordplay in the motto or design. One famous example is that of William Shakespeare. Or, on a bend sable, a tilting spear of the field headed argent. I don't have to believe that I understood heraldry in a previous life, or that I showed my devotion to the rules of tincture before I was born and am blessed in this life because of it. I can put as much time or money into this pursuit as I choose. The reward is internal. I get insight into myself and a better understanding of what it is to be human by learning about the endeavors and expressions of other humans. This does not require my devotion, and I reap the benefits of others' work with my small investment of time and breath. I am fortunate enough to say that life for me in this day and age is wonderful. The variety of expressions, information, and imagery from around the world enlighten as no era in the past has been able to. I feel as if I am in the age of Atlantis, knowing and appreciating that the present moment will never come again. Every golden breath, a cup of ambrosia to be tasted, only to remain as a brief memory. And regardless of when or how humans cease to exist, to live, to breathe, to read, to eat, to drink, to love, to cry, to hurt, to sing, to share all of these things with people who I love, this accretion of experience will come and pass. Never mind the clamoring about the next life. It is enough to live here and now. As a side note, in the news last year, the New York Times posted an article related to our president, even Donald J. Trump. When Mr. Trump purchased Mar-a-Lago in 1985, he also appropriated the arms officially granted to one Joseph Edward Davies in 1939, one of the husbands of Mar-a-Lago's previous owner, Marjorie Meriwether Post. Trump has subsequently used these arms to represent himself. This created problems in Scotland where heraldic authorities exist and the arms had already been granted officially to Mr. Davies. In short, part of Trump's workaround to use these arms has been to change certain elements, most notably the motto. It no longer reads Integritas. It simply says Trump.
Thank you for the listener essay. We desire all to receive it. And if you want to vote for it, go to the website and vote for it and give the author some feedback. And then tune in again tomorrow because we'll be doing this all over again with a brand new listener essay. I'll have all the long-winded fancy details as an Easter egg so you can skip over it if you want or listen to it if you want. It'll be there after Zoe says, thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
That's how we roll.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Well, that was a great listener essay, wasn't it? Ready to go vote for it? Now, if you've heard this before and you're an old pro at voting for these essays, you can just skip over this part. Now, here's how this is going to work. As it stands right now, I have 14 listener essays, and that means that for the next 2 weeks, starting today, February 7th, ending on February 20th, you will be hearing one listener essay per day. At least for those of you who listen in real time once the episode is released. And FYI, some of these essays were submitted to us without a title, so I gave them a title myself. So if you think the title of the essay is stupid, well, that's probably my fault, because damn if I don't love me some stupid. But here's the really exciting part. One of these 14 essays will win $218 because it's 2018 now, and we like to be cute and stupid about things, but we're not able to award a $2,000 prize just yet, okay? Another essay will win $109, half of the 218, and I think I actually got the math right this time, I think. And a third will win $50, and you listeners get to choose who these winners will be, and you'll also be able to give private feedback to each author. So here's how that's going to happen. After you listen to the essay today, go to our website, infantsonthrones.com, find the post for the essay that you listen to, and be sure that you have the author's name and the essay title right so that your feedback goes to the right place. Click on the survey that's associated with that essay, and it's going to be there on the post. Fill out the survey and submit it, and then sit back and breathe in and breathe out and feel life's energy flow through you and bask in the warm feeling of knowing that you made a difference in the life of someone brave enough to submit a listener essay to Infants on Thrones. Now, when you fill out these surveys, you're going to be asked two things primarily. One, to rate the essay on a scale of 1 to 5. And then you'll also have the opportunity to write in some of your thoughts, some of your feedback for the author. It'll only take a few minutes, and then boom, you're done. Now, you can do this for every single essay, every single one of these 14 essays. You can vote, or you can put your feedback for each one of these 14 essays, but you can only vote once for each essay. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, voting will be open through the entire month of February, even though the essays will stop on the 20th. You'll still be able to vote for the last week or so of February. On March 1st, voting will be closed, and then the winners will be announced on Saturday, March 3rd. Now, some of you may be wondering, is there a deadline for submitting essays? Well, no, not really. Now, this contest with these 14 essays, that will end with the final essay being released on February 20th. But my hope is that as you listen to these essays, you will feel inspired to make one yourself and share your unique view of the world with the rest of our listening audience. So, if you want to do that, submit it, and as soon as we get another 10 to 15 essays, we'll start another contest. How's that? Make sense? Pretty good deal, huh? And isn't that really how the world's supposed to work anyway? I mean, think of it like this. It could be kind of like if you were kneeling at an altar and you looked up and you saw this big mirror on the wall in front of you. And in that mirror, you could see not only your own reflection looking back at you, but you could see the reflection of the mirror on the wall behind you and the back of your head. And then in that reflection, you also saw another reflection of yourself, both front and back, stretching outward and onward, upward throughout all generations of time and throughout all eternity, like Rey in the new Star Wars movie, if Rey had been at an altar and married herself. Can you marry yourself? What is that, Master Wedshin? I don't know, in some kind of a weird Mormon Jedi temple ceremony thing that distinguishes one type of nerd from other types of nerds. That's kind of what this essay contest is like. No, I don't know. Will it end? Can you submit essays forever and ever and be like Rey? I don't know. See, what did I tell you? I love me some stupid. So this is the deal. Infant Listener Essay Contest. Please participate and make this thing super special. Because special isn't just a euphemism anymore, or something remarkable like that.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew, Ryan,
Carol,
Keith,
Ashley.
And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.